Greetings, Ernesto. I'm writing you in case I disappear. It's not that I want to disappear, but there may be circumstances beyond my control which may facilitate a rather mysterious departure. If you asked me a couple of days ago if a human or humanoid creature would be capable of, teleportation, dematerialization, vaporization, I'm not sure what the process at work here is called. But what it amounts to is vanishing into thin air. Anyway, if you asked me if it were possible, I would have laughed in your face. Now, I'm not so sure. Let me start at the beginning. As you know, we have been in a drought for quite some time now. Albuquerque has become almost inhospitable for me, and this week was the breaking point. My loyal swamp cooler, which has valiantly kept me cool for over a decade, finally conked out for good. The experts at the big box hardware store told me that I had a catastrophic failure that required a new unit with costly delivery and a hefty installation fee. Well, I don't have to tell you how I do under the pressure of extreme heat and immediate financial burdens. I kindly thanked the employees, got back in my car, and started driving in search of a cooler climate. I'm not sure what got into my head, whether or not I was experiencing some sort of disassociative episode or whether a kind of possession took over my body, mind, and soul, but whatever it was, took control and shouted in my head, "Drive, or you will be dead by morning." When I came to, I was parked on the side of the road facing a massive forest. A sign ahead assured me that I was in Cloudcroft. I searched my mind and I remembered hearing somewhere that Cloudcroft can be one of the coolest towns in New Mexico due to its high elevation and high seasonal rainfall. Rainfall! Can you imagine it? I didn't have to. I could smell it in the air when I first got out of my car. It was almost as exquisite as the cool wind which caressed my face, cooling my core temperature while simultaneously reinvigorating my spirit. It was wonderful, but still, the lingering heat of the city crept in and destroyed my sense of smell, replacing it with the asphalt and hot metal and sulfur, and I had to escape from the invasive sensations. I had to leave the road and the car and start climbing the mountain. Somewhere there was a peak, and somewhere on that peak I would find peace. I made my way up the mountain. Through a seemingly endless ocean of pine trees, my feet ached after walking an hour or so up the relentless slope. I even came across an almost insurmountable hill, but managed to pull myself up by climbing the ancient rock formations embedded in the ground. Any other day, I may have looked at the challenging climb and turned around, but something propelled me forward. For you see, every time I thought I had reached a good stopping point, and the wind filled the space with a cooling chill, and the smell of nature permeated my very being, making me one with Gaia herself, the warm stink of the city quickly seeped in and reminded me that I was born out of the womb of Metropolis, unable to wash off the putridity of civilization because it came from inside. So I pushed forward. Up the mountain, and in search of a place where this repugnant fact didn't exist. Another hour of hiking, and I was no closer to finding the mountain peak. I was about ready to fall to my knees and wail in defeat, when a strange shape was caught in my peripheral. I quickly turned to find a figure walking through the trees, not 100 feet to my left. I stood silent, unable to move. Unable to breathe. As my eyes adjusted to the shape, I could make out some of its features. It was tall, impossibly tall for a hominid. My mind raced towards the extinct Gigantopithecus, but I remembered artist renderings predicting it a more distinctly ape-like face. No, this could not be it. The creature I was looking at had a calming, human-like appearance. Soft facial hair covered its entirety of its face, blending into the hairline. It wore no clothes, but thick, matted hair covered its body. The hair itself was as brown as the pine trees it walked through. It seemed to disappear between every tree in the foreground. It was an odd, unnerving sight, but I had to get closer. I gently tread forward, one inch at a time. I couldn't risk letting it know of my presence. I had reached the halfway point before I realized that I hadn't taken a breath the entire time I was moving. A quick shudder filled my lungs, and it was impossible to stop, and the sound of the small bit of air entering my lungs was enough to alert the creature. It quickly turned and looked at me. I managed to eke out a plea for it to stay, but it began moving forward with haste. It passed behind a rather skinny tree and simply vanished into nothing. I cautiously ran toward where the creature had been, but it was nowhere to be found. It didn't run back down the mountain or find some hidden cave to lay low. I'm telling you, it disappeared in a blink of an eye. I'm heading back down the mountain. But before I do, I thought I should leave this note, just in case it marked me. Just in case I saw something that I shouldn't, and it knows that. But I don't think it will touch me, because I smell that smell, that stink of human. And whatever the creature was might want their world untouched by us.
El Campo Santo was made in the shadow of the Sandia Mountains in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico by Blackout Theater Company. Our goal is to tell the stories of New Mexico on stage, screen, and anywhere else you are. This podcast was made possible with generous support from the City of Albuquerque City Council Department of Arts and Culture, New Mexico Arts, and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. If you like this podcast, you should check out our Season 1 of El Campo Santo. If you would like to learn more about our plays and any other works, check out our website at blackouttheater.com.